appreciate it, buddy. And with that being said, we'll be chaos for my age, thank you, Bobby.
All right, Duncan, KO4, JKB. Are you still standing by?
KO4, JKB. Yeah, I'm still ticking.
Information I just gave Fred, that's that guy, he's on 114 Russet Lane in Asheville. And, well, up at the top of his business card, it's got www.hamradio.repair. You know, I don't know nothing about Asheville, but he's on 114 Russet Lane in Asheville.
All that information, I was listening, I wrote it all down, so, and yeah, thanks for sharing that, because that, there's not too many people that do that. I used to work at a repair shop, and there was a low-volt electrician that would repair TVs, VCRs, and things like that, and, having someone that you know can repair ham transceivers is a big, huge thing, so I wrote that down, so thanks for sharing.
Spartanburg, just a few houses down from Spartanburg General Hospital, Billy Burdett. He had a TV shop there, and he worked on ham equipment, transmitters, receivers, transceivers, amps. But the last I heard, he had had to sell his house. Well, I know they sold it because they tore the house down, and I think the hospital fell off all that property there where his house was. And he was in some kind of a assisted living place down there in Spartanburg. I wish there was somebody around here or local to work on him. Harry's the one that told me about this guy in Asheville, and Harry said he was really reasonable. And I'm going to take this MD-221R up there and get him to go through with it. I love that on radio. You got anything else you want to discuss, Duncan?
Someone else chime in here. I guess one thing, the preamble of the net tonight, Walt, you said that you listened to some new hams on this repeater that were talking about how great this net is and how supportive it is, and I'm glad that you shared that because I agree. You know, I'm a new ham. I probably had my ticket 14 months, and I've checked in a bunch, but, you know, I listen more than talk. And I've learned a lot, and also I learned that there's some really good folks out there. Over.
You say which repeater it was, but they were talking, one of them asked the other, and he tried to bring it up. He said, yeah, I brought it up, but said that's the rudest group up there that he had ever tried to talk to. Said it was like he would say contact. And they say, what you contacted? You trying to start an airplane up or something? And he said they were really rude to him. Said it was like it was a group just for the good old boys. They didn't want nobody else on there talking. I know they something like that on 3.915. There ain't no need trying to get on that frequency until the net starts, the sideband net at 7 o'clock at night, because they are really rude there. And I don't see how they get away with the language they're using on there. They've been doing this for years, the same group. But he's good and bad and everything, I reckon, Duncan. KO4, JKB, K4OIM.
But I tell you, this group right here is absolutely excellent, and I love listening, and even if I miss the check-in, I'll just leave the radio on and listen to the rag too, and hear the advice going back and forth. And yeah, there's one of my friends who's a technician. He lives west of me. And there's a repeater. I tried to check in once and tried to do that. And I just didn't feel like they really wanted anybody else in there. So I just stayed away from that. I just keep it up as an emergency, you know, way to contact him. But all the other nets, if I've checked into you guys might be listening more than twice, you know, everybody else has been great. Over.
Pretty general. They're probably only there now. 3.919. 3.919. It's a group called the Good Old Guys, the Good Old Boys. And they welcome anybody. And on Saturday night, they have a kids' night. And any youngster that gets on there, they have that contest. I believe it lasts for a week. The kid that gets on the radio and talks on his daddy's radio or his neighbor's radio, they give when it talks the longest and the most often, they give them a $25 gift certificate. And it's trying to get young hams into the hobby.
That's really cool. I like the fact that people are getting new hams into it. And I wrote that down, 3.919. But yeah, I've heard some stuff on HF that I don't even think they have licenses. They're just going off, and they just all have radios, and they say the most craziest stuff. But if you say that net 3.919, it's a good one to check into. That's good. There's one thing I've looked at is a net called the Moonshiner's Net. Have you ever heard of the Moonshiner's Net? I think they're somewhere around the Mississippi River.
I've been with them for a while. I'm a member of the Ole Miss Net. I've been a member of it for about 4 years. And I thought it was something to do with Ole Miss University down there in Mississippi. And I finally printed off my membership certificate for it about, a couple of months ago. And the Ole Miss Net stands for the Old Man's Single Sideband Net.
To tell, I did find a website that has pretty much the whole list of all the nets in North Carolina and UTC time, and they have them color-coded as if they're, you know, friendly or emergency only or government and all that stuff. So that's an important thing I use when I'm trying to do parks on the air. But I'll write down the Ole Miss net, and I've never checked into HF net. I'm still kind of scared about the whole thing, but anyway, I'm gonna get off here. I'll be monitoring. I gotta go get a drink and make some popcorn. But if someone else wants to comment, feel free. And Walt, it's always a pleasure to you. I'll be standing by. K4OIM, KO4JKB.
The Ole Miss Net, you can log into it on your computer and it'll have the thing about it is for hams trying to get their work to all states or award, and they'll give you a number, and when you check in, it'll come up on the computer that you're checked in and what state you're in. And they'll go down that list and call off the station and ask what station you're trying to contact and what state. And they'll give you the opportunity to make that contact. And I use QRZ logbook. and it automatically confirms your contact with that state, or state. I don't know if they do in counties or not, but it's a great help on getting you worked all state support. So go ahead and get you a drink and pop some popcorn. Anybody else got anything they want to bring up on the round table?
F4OIM, KF4MI.
Hey, Walt, if you could give me, when you sent me that info about the guy in Asheville, also send me information on that, that you were just chatting about. I need about four states to get my work on all 50.
Got a lot of white noise on this signal now. I don't know what happened, but what information was you needing?
Just step outside. The next thing you're talking about, the old Miss net. If you can give me information on that, maybe the time frequency of the week. I got about four states that I've been trying to get for my work office on QRZ. They just can't get anybody to confirm.
Bring it up here on my computer right quick.
All right, copy that. Yeah, just send me all the information. Like I said, again, my email is mycall.ki4mra@hotmail.com. Also, to be putting in my membership application, my son actually turned me on to you guys, KO4NNH. Hopefully join you guys. I won't be real active due to my job, but when I can, I'll be on the bed and check in EchoLink.
On the old MissNet, I go to the QRZ.com and bring it over to my call sign, and that drop box comes down. And let me see. How did I do this? Well, I guess I'm done. There goes my computer down. Hold on just a second, and I'll see what I can do to you.
Yeah, no worries, man. It's no rush on it. Like I say, just send me the information along with that repair guy up there in Asheville. That'll be more than enough. I'll check it GH and not overseas in Europe, so to speak.
Go back up here and find that guy's email address again. Just a moment.
Yeah, no worries, Walt. Take your time. We're going to be standing by monitoring and listening. KI4MRA, back to you.
JBQ, did you, Larry, did you try to work into the sideband UHF VHF this weekend?
No, sir. I did not. That's something I haven't tried yet.
I've tried it. And, it surprised me with this little 5/8 wavelength ground plane I got up. It ain't up about 25 feet. But, they were just like they were sitting in the room with me, but it didn't last long, not long at all. And I came back, I don't know, I tried for 3 or 4 hours and couldn't raise nobody else up.
That's curious. Was the contest over by that time?
It's been 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. But I kept going back. I couldn't get nobody on 6 meters. And I just gave up. I said, well, I got 4 of them. I hope I get a QSL card from them.
I hope they were taking their notes and sending you a QSL card. It could be because of the winter storm event. That involved a huge area of the country, all the way from the Midwest right on through the South and up into the Northeast. It could be that in deference to emergency communications, they might have shut it down early. And if you have any, well, if your computer's down right now, you won't be able to check this out, but you might just type that that contest into a search engine and see what comes up. Otherwise, I just don't know how to explain that.
Well, ZI, that VHF-UHF contest was supposed to have been, of course, with this storm business coming up, that might have thrown a monkey wrench in it, but January 15th, Saturday, 1900 UTC, the 0359 UTC Monday, the 17th. But when it comes to this storm business, that could have made some variables in it.
Thinking that, Andy, and it just makes rational sense, doesn't it? If an emergency like that comes along, you get off the air. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, Andy, I forgot about it. And I was sitting here, I was looking for somebody's phone number on my legal pad. And I was going through that legal pad, and I saw the information you gave me about it, about the contest. And I just took put my Kenwood in line and switched over to sideband. And I might have called CQ four times before that station in New York came back to me. As quick as I cleared out with him, it was a guy in Alabama. No, it wasn't. It was a guy in Ohio come back. The one that was W-A-H-O-G. What a call sign, W-A-H-O-G. But I got four of them and it just died.
They do that four times a year. That's the one for January. Then there's another one, not the last weekend, because the last weekend's the Big Field Day event, but the weekend before is another VHF-UHF contest. There's one sometime in September, and there's yet another one, but I don't know when the other one is.
On my January issue of QRZ magazine, and I guess I'm going to have to call them. I hadn't changed the address or nothing. It's been coming every month, but I hadn't got it this month. And yesterday was a holiday, and this little one-lane road I'm on up here around the lake, the mail didn't even run today up here. But I think it's this guy that wheels right up Foster Road. He's got a grading company. He came down through here with a big motor grader and plowed the road. And the guy, my next door neighbor, said, yeah, his daughter lives right around the curve around there. He comes down here and he cleans the road so she can get in and out. But the mail lady, she can come through here today, but there was no mail today up here.
Me, up here where I've been for the past couple of days since this come, compared to normal, there's been very, very little traffic. And the way it is out there now and was last night, I wouldn't advise too many people to be out there anyway, because it'll be nothing but a sheet of ice. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, Andy, you're certainly right about that. I have driven on ice, and I know better than to do that anymore. And I spent about 10 years north of the Mason-Dixon line, Michigan mostly. And I learned some things there. Until you learn what it is to walk in a blizzard, where it's snowing sideways, you know. And I had a big, full beard at the time. I recall that I was, my car wouldn't run. So I made a walking trip to the grocery store. Now, that wasn't more than a mile and a half away. Not usually a problem. But boy, don't you know, when I got home with two sacks of groceries, my beard was so full of, I guess, moisture from my breath and whatever, there was icicles hanging down, middle of my chest. I was the strangest looking creature you ever saw. KK4JBQ.
LCI. Way up here Sunday, the power was out. It was up here most of the day Sunday, 6 a.m. to about 8:15 p.m. That deep cycle battery in here and hooked up on the scanner. And, of course, I got the HTs here. And if I needed to bad enough, I got a 2-meter radio in the car. But I pretty much mainly just listened around and saw what was still on analog, being how old that scanner is. And much to my surprise, due to the way the 2-meter propagation seemed to be Sunday, I was actually able to hear that Tron repeater that Chad's always talking about they got here. And that kind of caught me off guard, because I probably won't hear it anymore again here unless the conditions get just right. Go ahead, Walt.
Yeah, I was surprised because up here where I live, every time it looks like it's going to rain, we lose power. It's usually because of squirrels getting into the transformers. And I finally broke down and got me some solar panels. Three deep cycle batteries. Everything in my shack now is off solar. And I was surprised after all that snow and ice and the wind, man, that wind was getting it up here. We never did lose power up at the house. But I was prepared down here. I'm heating my shack with a little electric space heater. I never did plug it into the solar because I cook on propane. I just lit two burners on my propane stove, and man, I stayed up about 75 or 80 degrees down here in the shack. But I was surprised that we didn't lose power up here through all of that.
My ears went up when you said you turned on a burner and that's the way you heated your shack?
Yep. I had some coffee cups in the sink that I needed to wash, so I just fired up two burners on the cook stove and put a pot of water on there to heat for my dishwater. I said, this feels pretty good, so I just... Well, I had to turn one up. My office got so warm in here. I just heated this one room. Well, it's the living room and kitchen where I got my shack. But I stayed nice down here. If you want to hear something funny, we got a fireplace up there in the house. And my daughter ordered a load of firewood. And I went up there and gone check on her and my grandson, and she had 3 logs in the fireplace and had 1 sheet of notebook paper trying to build a fire. I said, you ain't gonna build no fire that way. I had some where I built my deck out here on my shack. I had some pine that was scrapped I was getting ready for winter. I took the hatchet and split that pine up and made me some kindling. I had to take all that mess out of the fireplace and put that kindling there and build a fire and then put some bigger pieces of 2x4s and 2x6s in there and then put the logs on it. And I'm some gun. She didn't end up. That evening, let the fire go out, and I had to go up there and build another dog on fire. But she was going to try to start a fire with them logs. They had been split, but they were, I don't know, about 3 foot long. It had them in there in the grate. Was one sheet of notebook paper trying to build a fire.
How's the eye? Well, on that part, we're covered. So we've got a wood heater up here, but it's on the other end of the house, it is, so that wasn't an issue. Usually, when diesel power goes out here, it's usually on the line, it's usually somewhere down the road, usually, but like I said before, the reason I can't have an HF antenna up here, right here on the other side of this wall, that's the main line that comes up the holler, comes to the pole here in the yard, and from here back up the road, up the holler that way. And if it gets too close, say just in line of sight down the road down there, and the tree comes across the road, it'll drag its power line right here in the yard down. Every time, and over the past 30 or 40 years, it's happened twice. And I sure don't want to have a dipole under it when it happens.
JBQ. I'm not surprised, unless your daughter was ever in Campfire Girls or Scouts or some of those other wilderness groups where they should learn how to make a fire. We are losing so much common sense. My dad complained of this with my generation. And if this happens consecutively with generations as we go through, you know, future people aren't going to know anything. I just wonder. I was watching something that at least to me, was highly entertaining. It's a gentleman, he has a YouTube channel. He lives over in England, in Wiltshire. That's like a county or something over there. And he calls his channel Wiltshire Man. He likes to wilderness camp. And watching his channel, I have learned so much. For instance, Walt, do you know what featherwood is? That's good. Not 10 people you'd meet on the street would know what featherwood is. And I didn't know, to tell you the truth. But he got out his knife, and he's also a knife maker and makes one of the finest bushcraft knives you've ever seen. His channel is kind of his camping. He has dogs also, and he does quite a few videos on his dogs. And then his knife making. And I just love that sort of thing. He's got his own shop. That's his cottage business there. He makes knives, sells them all over the world. The knife brand that he chose is Jack Lore, J-A-C-K-L-O-R-E. That's a channel also, if that's specifically what you want to see. But anyway, he took out his knife, big old Bowie-looking knife, and he starts going down the side of about a 2-inch, 2.5-inch branch that he found laying on the ground. Now, it's, you know, it's not green, and it's not wet because it hadn't just rained, so this was a good candidate, I guess. And he goes around that thing just making little cuts, little cuts, little cuts, and he comes all the way up, all the way up. And he holds it up, and the darn thing looks like a feather. But that catches so quick and burns so long because it's got both the thin wood and the thick wood in that branch. And that would be a lesson to her if you want to try showing her how to cut a piece of featherwood. Wouldn't that help her out? KK4JBQ.
Is herself a clipper. I swear. I don't believe she'd have to buy groceries for the next year and a half. She's always canning everything. And she got these, the military ready-to-eat meals. She's got 5-gallon buckets of them stacked up all in the laundry room everywhere. And she bought 10 white rabbits. Got a pen and put them in there. I said, what are you gonna do with them rabbits? Anyway, things are getting me gonna end up eating those things. I said, give my brother $100 for a pen. And I told her, I said, do you think you could kill a rabbit and get it off? Yeah, I believe I could. I said, you don't. my grandmother, I had to live with, I was the oldest grandchild, and my grandfather had heart trouble. And my grandmother worked in the mill, and I had to, I guess I was about 7 or 8 years old. I had to go stay with my grandpa, so if anything happened while my grandmother was at work, I could call the doctor. And the night before he died, he knew he was dying. He made me promise I'd stay there and help my grandmother after he was gone. And after he died, everybody in the neighborhood, when they went hunting, if they killed a squirrel or a rabbit, they would bring it to my grandmother. And I swore when I got grown, I'd never kill another rabbit or a squirrel. And the same way when I go fishing, them old nasty carp. Nobody eats a carp but black people. They'd bring them to my grandmother. She would clean them things and take an old brown grocery bag and lay that carp up on it and pour buttermilk on it and roll it up that paper bag and put it in the refrigerator all night. And then the next day she'd lay that thing. That was some of the best eating you ever eat. But I think the dogs are either a coyote got out there and got into the pen. We never did find other rabbits dead, but they all had a big hole in the fence, and they got gone. I know she ain't got the stomach to gut something like that.
JBQ. I'm with you, Walt. I would have to be quite hungry. I have skinned rabbit, and I'll never forget the day that my mom had showed me how to skin a squirrel. I didn't like it. I was just a little boy, you know. But she thought, I suppose, I was her oldest. And she thought, there's no better time than now. So I helped her with it. And I ate the meal. And I was strengthened by it, I'm sure. But the truth is, food comes easier than that, ordinarily. And I just think there would be a vast amount of people starving, you know, if that's what they had to do. If it isn't just something you can go into a freezer case and lift it out, already packaged up and weighed and, you know, ready to prepare. No skinning necessary. Yeah. But there are folks who like that, you know, who enjoy and respect having that skill. and I'm glad they are. They will, if they're the only ones that survive, they will survive and perpetuate the human race. There we are. KK4JVQ.
KI4LCI, what you was trying to think of a while ago, I guess, was MRAs. Mike Romeo Alpha, MRAs.
Lizette, I remember, I don't know why the Navy, I was in the Navy, but I never was on the ship. I was a CB in the construction battalion. And before we went to Vietnam, they sent us to Sun Valley, Rhode Island. Got up there in October, and it started snowing the next day. And we up there going through jungle warfare training in the snow. It down, the warmest it got in the daytime was about 14 above zero. And we had the boxes of sea rations. And they had a 55-gallon drum full of water. They built a fire under it. And you took your box of sea rations over there and dump them in that barrel of water to heat it. When you get it back in line and come back through, you get three cans. You don't know what it is because the labels are done. Washed off of it, and you might get over, you might have one can with peanut butter and a few saltine crackers in it, and then you open up the other can, it might be a can of fruit cocktail, and you just know what you got. Everybody's sitting there swapping around trying to get a meal out of it, but MRAs, I believe I could skin another rabbit before I could eat another MRA, Andy.
KI4LCI. Well, I hope we never have to, but way things are right now, maybe coming down the line with all this business, with all this shipping business and all this, you know. I hope we never have to, because I'm afraid we have all got a lot on some areas to learn still. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LCI.
I understand, Annie. You know, it doesn't take me, it's no cost to me to admit that I don't know everything. As a matter of fact, the fact that I don't know everything is a good reason for me to continue to live, so I can gather this information. Listening to you guys and, you know, in other ways that I learn things, that is, that's part of what we're put here for, I think, to learn from each other. I've never had one of those military meals ready to eat. But I think if I was hungry, I'd eat it. For sure. KK4JVQ.
Ma'am. The young people today, they don't know nothing about planting a garden or anything. Up till 3 years ago when I broke my neck, I always had a garden. Whether I had a garden tiller or I got out there and broke the ground with a shovel, I always had a garden. But kids today, they don't know nothing about raising their own food or anything. They was absolutely starved or either robbed and killed to get something to eat. I just hope it never comes to that, but it ain't looking good.
LCI. But the way things are right now, rather than just as some have said about certain things, you know, like this chip business, you know, today's cars got to have chips in them. All electronics like we're using here got to have chips in them. you go far enough back, these chips are certainly the cars. And if you went far enough back with electronics, you can get chips. But yet, the chips are coming from Taiwan, China. I mean, it's... From what I understand, they're not even making them here in the U.S. anymore. From my understanding, JI4LZI.
You're fairly right about that, Andy. And we gave that up. In most respects, I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough about that. But it seems that we gave it up willingly and turned over manufacturing, especially, practically anything, to other parts of the world. Our standard of living, you just look at that, is so high, so much higher than the rest of the world, that in order to maintain a standard of living, you had to maintain a certain paycheck. And you could go out and find that work, and so could other people, but it wouldn't be manufacturing anything. I have worked in manufacturing, and it was a good job at the time. But that has gone, that company has been absorbed by some foreign conglomerate. Donna worked, before she retired, she worked in manufacturing. But that company has been bought twice by foreign investors. So the writing is on the wall. Whether we pay any attention to it is another thing to see. It isn't anything that I'll make a decision about. I'm pretty sure about that. But the... the average person must face the facts. And it's not looking good. Who was it? Was that you, Walt, said it's not looking good? KK4JBQ.
I am. Yeah, look at the trouble I've been having trying to find capacitors for these four Bowlingers I've got tore down. What happened to Kemet down there in Simpsonville? A few years back, everywhere you looked down there was a Kemet plant that made capacitors. I don't know what's happened. Now everything's coming from China or Taiwan, like Andy said. The United States is in bad shape. If we ever did get in a war with China, we might as well throw our hands up and just say, here, come on over and get us, because they make most of the parts for our military and all now. The United States, it started, I guess, with the cotton mills, textiles. They done away with them, shipped most of the looms and everything out of the mills down to Mexico, and then part of them to China. It just burns me up to go in Walmart. When Walmart first started, they only sold American goods. And you go in there now, and I was in there the other week looking at a shirt. I looked in the label, made in Vietnam. Man, that burnt me up. I mean, I spent 18 months in Vietnam. And, man, I have seen how horrible war is. And to think now we're buying from Vietnam is the same way with Japan after World War II. When we did get a toy, go into the Five and Dime store, all the toys were made in Japan. I don't know what's going to happen to the United States.
LZI. Well, the current QST, I'm sure Larry has it there. talks about the scout. That was back in when there were still separate receivers and transmitters. Well, it went, Hallicrafters went, National went, a number of those went when the Japanese started sending gear over here. Went into, you know, having it as a transceiver. There was good to that and there was bad to that, but the problem is, from all indications of what I read, the reason we were won World War II was because we was pretty much self-sufficient. Now, as all these container ships indicate out in these ports that's been backed up, we're importing any and everything. I don't know of anything that we're not importing now anymore. And I got to go take insulin. Y'all are still here later. I'll be back later. KI4LZI.
So if I'll be here, Andy, I'm kind of feeling my tired. I did too much snow shoveling the last couple of days. And I'm just starting to ache all over, so I'm going to take some sort of medication, I think, and see if I can't get the inflammation down. But just before you leave, and this is maybe no comfort to you, but I hope that our country lasts long enough that the three of us will pass. You know, I would hate to be around to see the downfall. And I don't know, Andy, you're in your 50s, I believe. And Walt and I are in our 70s, I believe. Maybe we'll make it out before we lose the country. KK4JBQ.
About this, it used to terrify me, but I've made peace with my Lord, and I'll be 74 one month from tomorrow, and when I think about death now, I'm ready for it. In a way, I sort of look forward to it. With all the health issues I've got, it ain't that I want to die. I worry about my daughter and my grandson, my granddaughter. But it don't worry me like it used to. But I'm going to have to get up there toward the house, too, because I know this ice is starting to freeze over out here. So KI4LZI and KK4JBQ, Andy, Barry, enjoyed talking to y'all. And I'm going to go ahead and say seven threes and head up to the house.
He's, watch every footstep, will you? Because the ground's going to be slippery. We'd hate to lose you tonight. Everyone out there, have a good evening and get yourself some good rest. This is KK4JBQ. I'm clear.
I've got my cane here with me. And I'm not about to walk where I've been walking, so I know that's packed down and slick. I'll just step over in the snow where I ain't walking yet up there. I guess I still got 4 or 5 inches out here in the yard. So it's K4OIM. I'll be clear.